Our scripture reading is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 14, with the focus of the message being on verse 14. We're when we remember Jesus' death in the Lord's Supper, we're going to take each item of the armor of God and have a message on that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the belt of truth that you have revealed your truth in the person of Christ, who is the truth, and that revelation of Christ is contained in the scriptures, which are wholly your truth. And we pray, our Father, that as we study the belt of truth, that we would put the belt on us and that we would be saturated in the truth that is in Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading from God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. As Americans, we have an infatuation, a passion for watching meteorologists tell us what the weather forecast is for the next day or the next week. Adding to this is our delight in talking about the weather. As we look at the warmer spring that undoubtedly we expected earlier than it came, and even the warmer summer weather, remember that cold spell of weather about a week and a half ago? That was undoubtedly difficult for some of us after an 80 degree week. One meteorologist I watched sought to encourage her listeners this way: keep your seatbelt fastened because warmer weather is just around the corner. Now, as I thought about her encouraging words in the context of the Apostle Paul's command in verse 14, fasten yourself with the belt of truth, I was struck by the message of the Apostle Paul. Keep yourself fastened with the belt of truth because the devil is just around the corner. Life for a Christian is not a picnic. It is an armed struggle against a powerful opponent. So you need to be properly dressed in the armor of God. 1 Corinthians 10:13 encourages us that every temptation you face is common to every other follower of Christ in this world. No temptation has come upon you but what is common. So don't think you're the only one. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation provides the way of escape that you may endure it. In other words, the church is not a showboat, it's a battleship. And we are in a war. And the enemy is much greater than we are in our own strength. But in every temptation, because the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, has entered into the fray already and has been perfectly faithful in overcoming temptation, doing that to stand in your place and mine for all of our unfaithfulness. Therefore, because the right man, Jesus Christ, is on our side, there is victory over temptation. Every temptation comes with the victory. If we will know the Word of God and yield to Jesus Christ. Point number one, affirm your trust in the belt of truth. So the Apostle Paul itemizes the armor piece by piece. The first component he mentions is the belt of truth. Put it all around you. Fasten it on. If you don't, you won't have any other pieces of the armor. Because the point of comparison with the Roman soldier is this. The belt of truth was logically the first thing a soldier completely strapped around his body. And it went on his body first because it held all the other parts of the armor. Like a carpenter, right? Has a belt. On that belt, his hammer, screwdriver, whatever else he needs. And that belt was put above his armor because in those days they wore long robes. And so that belt cinched the clothing so the soldier was unencumbered when he fought and ran. A modern usage would say you can't fight with your pants down. That's the point he's getting. Your pants have to be in place, and the thing that keeps them in place is the belt. So the belt is foundational to any soldier's effectiveness. And the point of comparison is, it is the truth that is in Jesus Christ as revealed in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, that is our effectiveness to hold the armor in place so we can stand victoriously against the devil. The only way to have victory over the condemnation of sin and Satan is to affirm your trust in the person and saving work of Christ alone. Wearing the belt of truth is trusting in the person of Christ. Because if you don't trust a person, you're not going to believe what they say. So in order to trust the truth of God's word, we must have a proper relationship to Jesus Christ and believe he is our all-sufficient Savior, fully God and fully man, who alone gave the all-sufficient sacrifice for our sins. The gospel message is clearly and unambiguously that Jesus Christ is not a truth. He is the only truth. He is the only way. He is the only life into heaven. Because in our contemporary world, what we are told is, there are many roads to heaven. It's a smorgasbord. Pick what you want. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere about it. You believe one thing about God, I believe another about God. There's different ways to slice the cake. And we're all going to end up eating it in heaven. Here's an analogy. It's baseball season. If you believe that the Bible is the Word of God and Jesus is the only truth, you're like the umpire who says, I call them what they are. There's balls and there's strikes. How I call them is what is. But if you're a modern person, what you say is, there's balls and there's strikes. I call them the way I see them. It's not what is, it's what I feel that matters. I'm sincere. Second person is totally wrong. Is under the domineering power of the evil one. God has made it clear. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Ultimately, people who say it doesn't really matter what you believe about God as long as you're sincere are those to whom it doesn't really matter what you believe about God. But if there is a God, and there is, who designed the whole world and the human story with a purpose so that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, it is stupendously important what you believe about God. The Bible clearly declares that according to the Word of God, there's simply only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1:13, the Apostle Paul says, the word of truth is in the gospel and only in the gospel. Therefore, I submit to you, there is nothing to do except to receive Christ by faith. There is nothing to achieve. There are no improvements to make on Jesus Christ and his atoning death on the cross, his resurrection and ascension. There are no more lessons that you could add to the work of Christ. Accept him for who he claims to be. He is the way to God, the only way. He is the only truth, and he is the only life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus did not say, I am one of an indefinite number of equally legitimate ways to come to God. Jesus said, I am the way to come to God. And Christianity claims this truth. Any Christianity that doesn't is not Christianity. It's another religion. But it's not Christianity. And the truth with which we are to be belted in to overcome the devil is the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ alone. So affirm him. He went under the scalpel of the cross to bear the punishment and curse of sin. And affirm, I am no longer a slave to sin and Satan, but to Christ. Okay, affirm. Point number two, adhere. You know, a belt is no use hanging in your closet. You have to put it on. In the same way, truth is of no value to you if all it is hanging on your shelf with dust collecting. You have to get into the Bible. You have to read it. You have to study it. You have to know it. You have to saturate yourself in it. You have to preach it to yourself, sing it, listen to it, and adhere to it. You need to become wise in connecting the Bible to your life. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, we read these words. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The mirrors in those days were not glass. So that it's pretty easy today to look right away and see what needs to be corrected. in a mirror. The mirrors in those days were made of a metal. And yes, they reflected your image, but not clearly right away. You had to stare into that mirror to see your face dirty, to see your hair uncombed, to see what needed to be corrected. And James is saying, if all you do is hear, that's not listening. You can hear audibly and not be listening with your heart. What James is talking about is obedience in the New Testament is to listen with the intent of doing. Saying you need to look at the Word of God in the mirror. You need to meditate on it. And what you need to do is you need to let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and convict you and show you where your life needs to be cleaned up, to show you where you're lacking in the fruit of the Spirit, where your words were tainted with corruption and kindness, lying. You need to let the Holy Spirit refine you and transform you through the Word so that you more and more take on the beauty of Jesus' character. That's the point. The belt of truth needs to be fastened around you. That's the reason why many Christians, and I would suggest all of us, ought to have particular times where we daily read the Word of God and we pray. We don't do it to meet with a habit. We do it to meet with God. And we don't do it to prove our spirituality and to impress God. God's not going to be impressed. We do it because it's a good way for us to connect the Word of God in our life, to let it grab hold of us and to wrestle with in prayer about how we are going to apply it to our lives. The measure of our time of study, just as the same as when you hear a message from God's Word on Sunday morning, is not, well, it left me with a warm, fuzzy glow all over. That's not the measure. Rather, does the truth equip you to serve God? Are you equipped with the truth? Is there some aspect of God's Word that you now better understand, that moved you, that shook up your life, that drew you closer to God, that led you to be in repentance over your brokenness? Am I able to apply God's truth effectively? That's one reason why when you set aside time to read the Bible and pray, that time's going to be a special object of Satan's attention. You may experience this. You open up your Bible, you start reading it, and all of a sudden you start thinking of all the things you need to do that you didn't remember before that. Or the urgency. Well, I better check email. I better get out of the Bible now. Check email and answer it. Or your list of to-do items that immediately come across your mind. Satan is always trying to distract us from God's Word. He's been a liar from the beginning. John 8:44. That's what Jesus said. He's a liar. He lies. And he's very subtle. That's how he persuaded Adam and Eve to sin in the first place. With a lie. If you turn to Genesis 3:1, you read these words where Satan comes to Eve and says, did God actually say you shall eat from any tree in the garden? That's what Satan said. Did God say that? You shall not eat from any tree in the garden? No, he didn't. He said this in Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden. Satan twisted God's word. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. Satan twisted the truth of God, and he's been doing that ever since. And Eve listened to his lie, like the rest of us often do when we do not wear the belt of truth. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." I have phrased this, rephrased this verse this way. The word of God is the greatest resource for victory. In the greatest place, your heart and mine. For the greatest purpose, obedience to God. The word of God is the greatest resource of victory, hidden in the greatest place, your heart, for the greatest purpose, obedience to God. And it is the belt of truth of God's word that enables you to stand. We are to believe the truth. We are to know the truth. We are to listen to the truth. We are to tell the truth. We are to speak the truth to ourselves. If we don't, our life will come apart. If we do, we will walk with God by the Spirit's power, going on from one victory in temptation fortifies us for the next victory over temptation. The Word of God. Where have you gotten your ideas about God and what he wants for you? There are many people who make them up themselves. There are others who all they ever do is listen to somebody else telling them about God's word. And I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to those who are clearly faithful to the word of God, but they should not be a substitute for you getting into the Word of God yourself. Did you get them from your parents? We should all be going to the Word of God and accessing the truth for ourselves from God. Because the Bible tells us that God is the great creator of the universe, who made all things out of nothing. It's in the Bible that we discover that Jesus Christ is the infinite God who took on human flesh to die on behalf of our sin. It's in the Word of God that we discover that God has prepared heaven for those who trust in Jesus Christ alone. It's in the Word of God that we are prepared with the resource so that we're not led captive away from God by the evil one. Last, so there's to affirm, to adhere, and to answer. The devil wants to persuade us to believe a lie. As a result, he'll go to extraordinary lengths to limit our contact with the Bible. Once he separated us from the truth, he starts with perverse messages. God doesn't have your best interest at heart. He doesn't really care about you. Oh, he did in the past at one time, but God changes all the time, and he's changed his mind about you. He's out to spoil your fun. If you're a Christian, your life will be miserable because God's word restricts your freedom. Sin is the way to true fulfillment and freedom in life. Those are all lies of the devil. And the truth with which we answer them is faith in the promises of God. That is what it means to have the belt of truth on. God has promised to be with me through the deepest and darkest trials of life. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God has assured us that all things must, the word is must, work together for good, because a sovereign God makes them work for good for his people whom he loves. God has proved himself to me in the past to be faithful. So even though I don't know how the future will work, I know that God holds the future in his hands. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's promises remind me that God has promised to work this situation out, and he will, because he solved the greatest problem, only a problem from our perspective, and that was our reconciliation with God. It was never a problem from God's perspective. Having loved me, he won't abandon me. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the earth." And then there is praying those promises, praying for the power and wisdom that God's truth would triumph through us. We need to put the belt on every day, because my heart and your heart are leaky containers. Day by day, we need to fill our mind freshly with the Word of God so that we can stand firm against the evil one. So there's affirming, there's adhering, and there's answering. And then we close with this great truth. We are weak in and of ourselves. We cannot stand against Satan. However, Jesus is the mighty God and has already worn the armor of God in his public ministry, in his life. He already wore it. Jesus demonstrated perfect faithfulness and perfect righteousness in wearing the armor of God for us. And you may think, well, where is that? Well, Isaiah, I'm glad you asked that question. Isaiah 11:5. Okay, Isaiah 11:1 through 5 is a picture, or is a prophecy that Israel had wandered from God. Israel had rejected God. They were in darkness, and God would send a descendant from David's line, the Messiah, who would be perfect in righteousness and faithfulness and reverse all the results of the toxic effects of Adam's fall. Notice, look here at verse 5. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Jesus was perfectly faithful and perfectly righteous in my place and your place. We see that in the temptation in the wilderness. When Satan came to Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness and said, "Jesus, you can't trust God. Cause these stones to become bread." Jesus answered with the word of God, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God." Every word. We read this when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness and Satan says, "Lord, make a spectacle of yourself. That'll get you a lot of attention. Throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. It'll be a miracle. And a lot of people will be excited about your ministry." And Jesus responded by saying, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." And then the most outrageous lie of all. He showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world and say, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus was perfectly faithful because he had the belt of truth around him. So that on the day of judgment, when we are summoned before God, we will enter into paradise because we are covered in the perfect faithfulness and righteousness of Christ. Because Jesus wore the perfect faithfulness and righteousness of the belt of God, the good work he's begun in us will be completed, so that we ought to give every ounce of strength we have in the power of the Holy Spirit to growing in obedience. And finally, when the devil says to us, yes, you sinned, there's no hope of pardon. There's no hope of acceptance. Because Jesus wore the belt of truth, when we repent and turn to God as prodigals, he will not spurn us like Satan may whisper, but he will receive our brokenness in repentance and forgive us. So stand by affirming the truth, by adhering to it, and by answering Satan with the truth of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good God, gracious in all of your ways. We thank you, Lord, that in the place of all my failures, in the place of all the failures of everyone worshiping in this room now, stands the perfect faithfulness and righteousness of Christ, which gives us access to your presence. We pray, Lord, that as we partake of your supper, that we may do so, renewing our commitment to you, thanking you for your faithfulness, and resolving by the power of the Holy Spirit to wear that belt of truth, to stand firm in obedience for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.